I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 7-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. So I missed this year's Hope Summit because, well, you know, that's how life goes. I talked to Katie Brown, and she said I missed an amazing speaker. So luckily, I'm able to have him on the show today. It's Chris Draft. He is a former NFL player. He has a great organization that he started in honor of his wife. It's all about lung cancer today. And Chris Draft, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Sorry I missed you at the Hope Summit. Everyone was talking about it. You were the buzz. The buzz of the Hope Summit.
Oh, thank you. I know you had, you know, something very important. Otherwise, you would have been there.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So tell me a little bit about yourself and the Chris Draft Foundation is what we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, very good question. Just jump right into it. Just
yes.
Tell me about you.
Exactly.
Well, I think what's important is it's the Chris Draft Family Foundation.
I'm sorry.
Chris Draft, which is important because it speaks to our focus. Our focus is always about a team, realizing that it's not about an individual. It's always about the team around that individual. So that we know that to achieve your greatness, you can't do that without a team. And that really has been forged through my relationships with my teams and playing in NFL, relationships from my family and growing up, and then relationships that, you know, that my wife had, tremendous team that she had around her. And so when we talk about from a specific foundation of a Chris Draft Family Foundation was started in 2006 and with a mission to empowering families to live healthy lifestyles. But our cancer initiative was actually launched and really not just inspired, but really conceived by my wife, Keisha Rutledge Draft. She came to me before our wedding in November. We were married on November 27th of 2011. But before our wedding date, she came to me and she said, what if we don't get presents? What if we just asked all, you know, our family and friends that are going to come here to support the foundation, to support the foundation in a fight against lung cancer and just cancer in general?
That's awesome.
And I said, baby, that is great. That is awesome. Absolutely. And so it's very important that you can see is that the foundation was established before my wife was sick, but it was inspired by two people with cancer. And the focus of the foundation is really about prevention, but to really understand the real prevention is you have to understand it through kind of the eyes of cancer. Our team draft initiative was started with my wife. It began with my wife. It wasn't in honor of her. It wasn't, you know, after she passed in memory of her. It was started by her. So what we are doing is actually continuing the fight. You know, she laid it, you know, she put the stake in the ground and said, we are going to fight. And all we're doing is continuing that fight every day and really holding true to the relationships and really the core values that she had. And that is that, you know, strong, authentic relationships, and then also real solid problem solving. No, you know, not complaining, but really being honest and really hitting the true nature of the problem. So that means that we care about the individuals where they're, you know, where they are, where they're in their journey. We need to surround them with people that are positive, but then also very helpful resources in their lives. And at the same time, we have to commit to pushing the needle as we, you know, as it relates to research for the future.
Well, now you started this for other people. Tell me a little bit about those other people that the Chris Draft Family Foundation was founded in honor of.
Well, great. And in honor of, inspired by, really.
Inspired by.
So, again, we're not doing it for them. It's inspired by them. And that is that I had two teachers in high school. One was actually one of my football coaches who was, they were actually diagnosed the year after I had left and went to Stanford. But one was diagnosed with melanoma. And, you know, his wife had saw something and he was able to be diagnosed fairly early. And because of being diagnosed fairly early, he actually just passed away last year.
Oh.
But I taught special ed kids in high school, and the teacher that I taught with, she was diagnosed in 1995 and was in the best shape of her life. She had, you know, that's when aerobics and step was just really getting going, and and had transitioned from some of the jazzercise and some of the other things. But on a routine physical, she basically found they found something in her lung. And so she basically found out that she had lung cancer. And, you know, because it's lung cancer and it's different, you know, something that I really understood more with my wife, that she passed away about, you know, a little bit over a year afterwards, which, you know, I was away at in college at Stanford at that time, so really didn't get to see her as she was going through it so much to really understand it. But what I did know and what I did understand was how strong both of them were. You know, how physically and mentally strong they were, how in both cases financially they were all together. They both had a strong family. Special ed teacher, her husband is tremendous as a supporter. And then my coach, his wife, was tremendous. So a tremendous support. And then also they're very educated. So they understood where to go. They had great insurance. And then again, the financial backing to be able to go where they needed to go. And so all those things kind of together really molded the you know, what our initiatives were as it relates to the foundation until kind of fast forward until my wife was diagnosed with lung cancer on December of 2010.
Wow. Now, we were talking a couple days ago about how you feel that regardless of how much money you have and your insurance, you always want to try to have your treatments close to your family because it's hard. It is a financial strain, no matter how much money you have to have your surgery or your treatments in another state, whereas having them close to home. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, how important your team is and how important it is your team to be close to you during your treatment time.
So you asked the question, why is it so important to have a treatment close to home?
Yes. Some of my friends have had, you know, they've searched for their treatment, not only in their state, but others, and found what they wanted elsewhere. But we were talking a couple days ago about how having your team close to you is very important during your treatment.
And again, that's a great question. You know, why is it important? And when we talk about a team, what does that team look like?
Yes.
And it's not just that, you know, those great family and friends. So my wife had a tremendous group of family and friends, but they weren't just family and friends. Her friends, the makeup were, PhD from Harvard in public health that works at the CDC, is someone that works in the clinical trials division hand in hand with the lung cancer doc at Emory, the top lung cancer doc. Other ones are primary care doc, pediatrician, that have connects throughout the, the medical space, along with the fact that she worked in pharmaceutical sales. So she had a real understanding of how healthcare worked. And so you ask about a team, and so it's important that they can surround themselves with a team, and we hope that that team is close to home. We hope that it is. You know, we don't want you to feel like that you have to get on a plane to go to MD Anderson. You know, you're up in Michigan and you think, man, I have to go, rather than feeling like that you can get the treatment at University of Michigan at Ann Arbor or Carmano Center that's in Detroit, or potentially, you know, somewhere else. If there's a place in Grand Rapids because that's still a long way.
Right.
You know, even though it's in the same state, it's still a long way. And so what is it, you know, that we can do to make sure that you can feel confident about your care and you have the access to your, you know, to the top care close to home? Because then as you're going through this cancer battle, this tremendous battle, you have your family and friends close to you.
And that's so important. I mean, you don't realize how, I guess, isolating cancer can be even when you have an entire team around you. So having them there, you know, you might not even... I had a real problem with just dealing with the fact that I had cancer and I was by myself as a cancer survivor. You know, you would have people to talk to as part of the Chris Draft Family Foundation saying, you know what, you're not alone. You do have your family members there, your team members. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a little hard to talk to people who don't have cancer, even in your own team, about how you're feeling. But the important thing is, no matter what, all cancer survivors feel that way. We all tend to feel isolated. And it's okay to tell your spouse, your loved one, your doctor, hey, I'm feeling like, you know, I'm feeling weird and you know, this, I don't, sometimes I'm feeling a little depressed, and you know what, it's okay. It's okay to tell your support team that, you know, never, I would say never be afraid to just bare your soul a little, because that's what your team is expecting you to do.
Absolutely. And what we hope is that you have those people that can, that, that can.
Yes.
Appreciate that, that can take it. I mean, you can't share with everyone. I mean, right. Just because somebody is family does not mean that they are the one that you really want to talk to. And so, you know, we hope that that is the case, that you can have those family and friends. Again, we're not saying it's going to be everyone.
Right.
It's that those people that you've counted on, the people that you've built relationships with your whole life, that you feel like you get good counsel from them, that you want to be able to stay around them. Mm-hmm. And now there's absolutely a hard choice now. If you don't feel like that you're getting the care that you need, that you feel like you have to go, I mean, you might have to do that. You might have to, but, you know, there's costs that are associated with doing that.
Right.
And so if we think of not just high level, and high level meaning someone that has, you know, especially as we look at lung cancer, the numbers are 17% 5-year survival rate. And so it's not good.
No,
it's not good. So access to health, tremendous access to health, access to the top drugs doesn't necessarily mean that you're just going to be okay. But, you know, to find those things should not be a complete burden. You shouldn't have to be, you know, independently wealthy,
right,
to be able to get to a place that's going to allow you the best opportunity. It doesn't mean it's absolutely going to save you, but it give you the best opportunity for to be cured.
You have several initiatives on your website, the Get Checked and Get Fit story. How did that, I mean, I know how it would come about, but get a little background on that for our listeners.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the main start of where the foundation really began, is with our Get Checked and Get Fit initiative. And it really goes right in line with, if you see any type of health infomercial or anything, or dietary infomercial of sorts, they always have on the bottom, make sure to consult your doctor.
Yes.
And the results are better with diet and exercise. Right. And so instead of trying to make it very difficult and hard, we said, let's clean it up. What is that plan that we have to to enforce consistently that doesn't make it as complicated, but it's just real? And that says that you have to be willing to be honest with yourself at times when you're checking yourself. The idea of getting checked is that you might not be able to do that by yourself. You need professionals in your life that can help you assess where you are. Now, you have to recognize that there's an issue. And again, in recognizing it, realize that potentially that's not something that you can take care of by yourself.
Right.
But then realize that to make sure that you're handling that particular issue, that you're going to need to still take care of yourself. You're going to still need to make sure you're fit, because with any problem that you have, making sure you're, you know, healthy mind, body, spirit, it's going to make it easier for you to solve any of those problems.
I agree. And I think the hardest thing for people besides the exercise, finding time for that, is just the whole food lifestyle change. You know, we had talked before the show, I was pretty healthy and I play recreational hockey. So changing my diet a little bit wasn't that difficult. And I talked to a nutritionist, and, you know, luckily when I talked to a nutritionist, I had to ask for one. But I think more and more hospitals are realizing how important nutrition is for, you know, I'm sure your wife had a nutritionist, right, when she was diagnosed. You know, how important eating healthy, drinking water, even going for a walk is very important. And people have to realize that, you know what, you can't, it's a lifetime thing. You can't just go back and eat all the Twinkies or fast food restaurants. You have to make that change forever, because as a survivor, you know, you always pass that 5-year mark. Well, I've had friends who've had cancer come back after 5 years.
Yeah.
And you always want to stay healthy and fit. And, you know, that's another thing that I talk about a lot. You can't just, like, say, oh, well, I'm fine now, so I don't have to worry about exercising.
Well, again, that's why it's empowering families to live a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to create that lifestyle. And in doing it, recognizing that unfortunately, what's on TV possibly doesn't encourage that always.
Right.
So what can we do? Instead of thinking of this complete fad, something that's over the top, let's start with walking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Exercise doesn't have to be football, doesn't have to be that you just played a baseball game, doesn't have to mean that you did something so absolutely physical like maybe you were doing CrossFit.
Right.
But if you can have a consistent walk with your spouse, consistent walk each day, we're winning.
Exactly.
In terms of, you know, in terms of diet, if we're drinking more water, mm-hmm. I mean, just replacing this, you know, the sodas you have one here and there, but just replacing that with more water, we're already winning.
Exactly. Because people don't think about, I mean, people think, oh, man, there's no taste to water, but it flushes out all the toxins. You know, I mean, you never notice, you probably don't realize if you don't drink a lot of water, but you always feel a lot better after you drank a lot of water.
Yeah, so, you know, the key is not trying to feel like that you have to make these huge changes, but if we can make small changes, mm-hmm. They'll start to add up. You know, you make a small change, you feel the benefits of it because you feel different, you feel better, and then you can add something else, and then something else. And so we're not looking at something where you're going to completely change for next week,
right?
But really that this is a process, it's a journey.
And the best part is if you have kids, you'll be able to teach them great exercise and you know, help them prepare healthy meals, and they can take that along to their family, and that'll
absolutely.
Just be a whole generation that'll get
absolutely
healthy.
I mean, one of, you know, again, a big reason why it's empowering families to live healthy lifestyles is that we understand that kids eat what their parents bring in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So someone will ask, is it really focused on the youth? You know, I thought you guys were more focused on the youth. It says families. I said, well, if we actually want to help our youth, we actually have to empower the parents. I mean, that's where we went, because they're what they bring into the house, the modeling that they put in front of the kids will actually make it where the kids are better.
Exactly. Now, speaking of kids, we were talking a little bit, Tackling Cancer Day. This looks totally cool, and I'm totally bummed that I missed out on it. This this just happened, last week? Is that right?
It was about a week and a half ago.
A week and a half ago. Yeah. Is this your big? Is this one of your big events throughout the year? Because I know you.
It's one of our major events. It's
awesome.
Actually a Tackling Cancer Day, and so we do a lot of specific lung cancer work. My wife was diagnosed with lung cancer, so a lot of our work is changing the face of lung cancer, highlighting lung cancer specific survivors. But we also have another track, and that is as we prove that survivorship is the ultimate goal, we invite the other survivors to kind of join in supporting that case and saying that's not the ultimate goal just for lung cancer survivors. That is the ultimate goal of cancer.
Right.
And so that's where, you know, our cancers, we're finding out how different they are right now. All the different genetics, makeups and everything, we're finding out how different they are. But the ultimate goal is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that is survivorship, and not just any kind of survivorship, not just an existing survivorship, but really this, you know, feeling good, you know,
yes.
Feeling great, and you know, that you're able to have, you know, that cancer came into your life, gave you perspective, but you are moving better, you're healthier afterward. So our camp with we worked with the St. Louis Rams. I played with the St. Louis Rams, and we had peds. So we had some our younger kids, and mm-hmm. we had men and women. So we basically had a third, a third, a third, and then each of them had a caregiver. So we had about 90 survivors and
wow.
With their caregivers, and we had some other stragglers mixed into that. So about 200 people, and got our Rams rookies out. And. And basically what we did a football camp.
Wow.
We did a football clinic where you run through drills, tackle bags, and hit it, knock it down. And, you know, we challenged the survivors to tell cancer what they think about. You know, they've had to wait on cancer. They've been waiting for a CT scan,
mm-hmm.
waiting
yes.
for this PET scan. They've been waiting for a biopsy. And so what we're saying is today, you don't have to wait. Today we go on the offensive. You get a chance to attack them, right? So go and hit them, knock them down, and then for the caregivers that have sat to the side and felt like helpless at times, that mm-hmm. wish they could do more at times, that really have some real issues with cancer for coming in their house.
Exactly.
We're saying that there is a nice tackling dummy that you can knock down, kick, and do whatever you want with. If you mess it up, there's another one. If you don't, then hopefully the next person gets a chance to take out their frustrations on it. But cancer, it's difficult. It's hard. You know it. You're a survivor, mm-hmm. and at times the only thing it's hard to express how you're feeling. And we want to give everyone a chance to say, just tell cancer what you think. Say, I'm sick of you. I'm tired of you. So go and hit them.
So how did you get all these survivors? Did you just get them from the local hospitals and bring them in?
So we worked with the local hospitals in St. Mm-hmm. Louis. So worked with Siteman Cancer Centers with WashU, Washington University. That's right in St. Louis. The St. Louis University Cancer Center, SLU University Cancer Center, Mercy Health is a community hospital, and then St. Joseph's SSM Cancer Center there, along with a group called the Friends of Kids with Cancer that helped us in identifying some of the PEDS kids. And then some of the local support groups, there's a Breakfast Club, Empowerment Group. So it was a nice group. Again, worked directly with the cancer centers and then some of the support groups within it to be able to identify them.
Wow, that must have been just amazing. Do they get to run out of the tunnel onto the field?
So basically we do it at the indoor facility.
Practice
facility is. And we created a tunnel. The tunnel is caregivers. So the caregivers create a tunnel. So if you can think of a football game where you see they announce offense or defense. And when they do that, they have one group that come, they're going to announce offense. So the defense comes out and then they line up. And then that's when the offense comes out. And so that's what we did. We had the caregivers line up and then turn the music on and had a little bit of TI, bring them out. And
nice.
Next thing you know, we had our survivors come out and they were led by some of our St. Louis Rams cancer survivors, since the St. Louis Rams actually have 6 cancer survivors that work within the building.
Wow. That must be amazing for them to share their stories with the other cancer survivors.
Oh, it's awesome. And we make sure that they can identify them also. So it's the Rams survivors, they had yellow shirts on or gold shirts. The survivors had white with blue writing and the caregivers had white with gold writing. But our survivors that were our Ram survivors, they had gold shirts with blue writing on them. So they definitely stood out so everybody could know who they were.
It gives me chills. That just sounds so awesome.
We'll have to get you down to St. Louis or when we come up to Detroit next year, you'll have
to be involved. Are you coming to Detroit?
That's what we're working on.
Sweet.
Our goal is to do a Tackling Cancer Day with all the NFL teams.
Oh, that, and they must all just love that idea. I can't imagine just.
Well, that's the next level with some of the initiatives that the NFL has done. Mm-hmm. So much of it has been focused on breast cancer by itself.
Right.
And so the next level, and that's the NFL had already seen that. And that's what they wanted. They partnered with American Cancer Society for a reason nationally, mm-hmm. really setting up the opportunity to appreciate all the cancers in the future. And so we're at that future point that it's time to start making that change where we are appreciating all the cancers.
I agree. And cancer isn't always about pink. And, being a breast cancer survivor, sometimes I feel like I have to, I don't want to say apologize, but kind of say, yeah, I know. I agree with all my other cancer survivor and advocates that more focus needs to be put on, lung cancer because it's the number one killer. And it does have that stigma of, smoking. And, if you have lungs, you can get lung cancer. I mean, that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't think like that. And, you and I are trying to change that. And I was just looking on your website, and I'm a hockey fan, so I was looking at a survivor at every game, and I can't mm-hmm. find it on your website. Tell me a little bit about that.
Our Survivor Series, we bring survivors to different, really use the backdrop of different professional sports. Mm-hmm. And so our Survivor Series is made up of different professional sports executions. And so if we see a survivor at every stadium, that means that we're taking survivors to NFL stadiums.
Yes.
Taking them to the games. If we survive at every rink, that'll be hockey. Mm-hmm. We've been able to work with NHL. They've been very, you know, very tremendous in their support. A survivor at every arena, and that's basketball. My wife actually danced with the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh.
So we have a strong connection with the NBA. And if we, with Major League Baseball, survive at every ballpark, mm-hmm. So we can make adjustments on it. But our Survivor Series really is committed to creating some memorable experiences, and at the same time allowing our survivor advocates to have a platform to be able to share their story, because they're at a game and there's more opportunities for them to share, along with then being able to meet certain people, certain right. players that can then share their stories. So creating an amazing experience, along with then allowing them to be able to share their stories with influencers in their community.
And I think the other thing is when you're going through cancer, and I know that your wife, you saw this in your wife, sometimes it's hard just being a cancer survivor, especially. I was at a Hockey Fights cancer night with the Red Wings, and I know some of the survivors were going through treatment, and I could tell that having a night that was just for them was very empowering. Because it's, for most of the time, I would say, like, if you're going through treatment, 90% of the time is just either side effects or treatment or waiting at the doctor's office, like you said, or blood tests and, you name it. But if you have something like, you're tackling cancer day or a survivor at the rink, it's all about you and you being a survivor and being here. And like you said, and advocating and meeting other people that are just like you, and the caregivers can meet other caregivers that are just like them. And that's, I believe that's the empowering. That's a huge empowering aspect that a lot of people don't. I mean, people who aren't survivors don't understand that. That is like, that's huge.
Yeah. The other part is sports help put a lot of things in perspective too.
Yes.
So often, there's one team that wins the championship. Mm-hmm. And if we only look at as just winning that championship, then all the teams would feel horrible.
Right.
But that's not the case. Within sports, we can appreciate fight. We can appreciate what somebody's going through. We can appreciate when they're when they're up, when they're down, and we can encourage them. These things are natural in sport. The other thing is that we can hope. Because when you watch sports, there's always something amazing that happens that you can't count on.
Exactly.
There's always something amazing that's happening. There's always something that is different, that is unexpected, that is happening.
Yes.
And so every time you go to a game, you are hopeful. You're hopeful that your team will win, even if they're struggling. You can find hope. Even if the team hasn't won in a while, you think of a Red Sox fan or a Cubs fan. And when you translate that over to cancer, it helps you put mm-hmm. cancer in perspective.
Yes.
Is that there are some numbers, again, lung cancer, 70% 5-year survival rate. It kills more than breast, prostate, colon, pancreatic combined. Those numbers aren't good.
No.
But as an individual, that doesn't mean that you have to completely give up hope. Because, you're an individual. Those are numbers. You're an individual, and your goal has to be that regardless of how bad the numbers are, you're going to believe that you're going to be a part of that 17%.
I agree.
And you're going to believe it.
And see, where I knew we would, even with our Skype issues, I knew we'd be able to talk about this for a half hour, especially, you brought up the Red Sox, and I'm a huge Red Sox fan. So, yeah, I was jumping up and down when that happened, when they finally won the World Series, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you know it. For people to continue to fight, continue to support it, again, it lets you know that even if it seems like, it's just not going to work, that doesn't mean that you have to give up.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you can't encourage somebody because this is their life.
Exactly.
This is their life. So what we're saying is, I know you're in for a battle. I know you are. All right. But we're going to celebrate that. I mean, I went to the playoffs. I played 12 years in the NFL. I went to the playoffs 3 times. So most of the teams I was on weren't real good, right? It doesn't mean that we didn't go to work. It didn't mean that we didn't, you know, put everything out there, that we didn't fight. We didn't, you know, so if we're in this space, you know, we might be up against a tough opponent. But that doesn't mean that we have to accept that we're going to lose.
I agree. And with that, where can people get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you, which I know they will after this?
If they want to get a hold of me, they can go to ChrisDraftFamilyFoundation.org. They can see us at TeamDraft.org, and then they can check out our Facebook pages at the same ChrisDraftFamilyFoundation.org, you know, and TeamDraft with Facebook, and then follow us on Twitter, really more with TeamDraft at TeamDraft.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Chris, with all your, you know, the traffic and the Skype issues. I don't know. Must be something in the air, or I don't know. Full moon last night, maybe.
I think it's the 4th of July. It's almost here.
It is. Well, if you hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Majoros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.